Lord, we ask your blessing on Martin as he preaches with us today. I pray that your Spirit would pour through him, that you would soften our hearts, and that we would readily receive your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love making playlists. I used to, back in the day when I was a teenager, love making mixtapes. The digital music revolution has made everything so much easier. And I have a special playlist of contemporary, slightly edgy versions of carols and Christmas worship songs. And every year, at the start of Advent, I load this list back up. And after a bit of tweaking, adding anything new I have found or been introduced to by somebody else, and pruning away some of the songs that I'm beginning to get a bit tired of, I load it up onto my phone and I play it over and over and over again. In my study while I'm working, in my car, on my earphones while I'm walking, pretty much continually throughout December. Now this list has a rather personal selection of songs on it. It is, I like to think, both eclectic and idiosyncratic. You may say confused and weird. I say eclectic and idiosyncratic. I am very happy to share the full list with anyone who is interested. But for now, let me just say it includes things like the Rend Collective's version of Ding Dong Merrily on High, Pentatonix's version of Mary Did You Know, The Wind by the Christian metal band Demon Hunter, and the Enya version of O Come Emmanuel. And the one my wife and daughter simply cannot stand, Gaudete by Steely Span. Anyway, one of my absolute favorites, has been for the last 3 or 4 years, is Chris Tomlin's Noel, sung by Lauren Daigle. For me, this is a beautiful, emotional song and has become a key part of my preparation for Christmas. I'm just going to read you. I'm not going to sing you. You're very, very relieved to hear the first verse and chorus. Love incarnate, love divine, star and angels gave the sign. Bow to babe on bended knee, the saviour of humanity. Unto us a child is born, he shall reign forevermore. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. Noel, Noel, the story of amazing love. Noel, Noel, come and see what God has done. For the last few years, that line, come and see what God has done, is the wake-up I need at the end of November, beginning of Advent. It breaks into that Christmas funk that we all feel, I'm sure, where the media starts getting overexcited and the shops start selling to us more and more. We have Black Friday nowadays, which makes it even worse. This is a reminder of what Christmas is really about. And in these days, these specific days, I think we need it even more to reset our minds and hearts. Every year, I, and probably we, find it easy to forget the reality of Christmas. Busy and tired. Excited, maybe. Distracted, probably. Worried and stressed, perhaps. Maybe sad and maybe lonely. We may be some of these things, or at different times, all of them. Every year, we need to be reminded. Come and see what God has done. Sometimes, I know this is a long time Christian, 30-odd, 40, loads of years. Sometimes we are so used to the story, all the different bits of the story. Gabriel and Mary, the star and the nativity, shepherds and magi. And we need it, we need to be reminded, in fact, especially the people who take it for granted, who are used to it over and over again. We need to be reminded and to be woken up a bit and to pay attention and remember what is actually going on. In the passage we heard from Samuel, we learnt about God's plan for David and his descendants. 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, God speaks to Nathan about David. David's house will endure forever through the descendant to come, through Jesus. Christmas is God's most deliberate and perfectly executed plan. It is an expression of the will and character of the Most High God, and it combines the culmination of long, long history of creation, of long, long history of promises, of thousand-year-old promises and more. It combines these things, this deliberation and this planning, with the miracle of the virgin birth. Just in case we think we can predict what is possible for God, we have a God whose plan for us is constant and trustworthy, and at the same time, we have a God who is not constrained by his own creation. He is not limited by the rules. Christmas is divinely purposeful. Everything about it is deliberate. Everything. His promises to us will come true even when we can see no possible way for that to be the case. And there is nothing normal or ordinary about Christmas. We have to remember this. The Christmas story is holy. It is good. And it is so, so deep. When we feel lost in the busyness of Christmas, when we feel stressed or worried, when we feel sad, remember what Christmas shows us about God. He is in charge. He keeps his promises. He is constant, and everything is in his plan. Come and see what God has done. And beautifully, the Christmas story is also about the wonder of a personal God. Our God, who is creator of all things. An easy, short sentence. It means ridiculously unknowable amounts of information. Just cannot conceive what that means. This is the God who designs quarks and atoms, who designed DNA, who knows the name and place of every star and every individual subatomic particle. This God, holy, majestic, completely and utterly powerful, way, way, way beyond our understanding, this God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. This God sent his angel to speak directly to a young woman from a small town on the very edge of the Roman Empire. And God's message? That this young woman would conceive and give birth to the Son of God, whose kingdom would never end. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This immense and unknowable God was going to become knowable through his Son. God entering into his own creation, God as a baby, as a child, as a man, God vulnerable and hungry, God allowing himself to be really known, God fully human. Come and see what God has done. This idea of a personal, relatable God is such a very deep one, so multifaceted. It affects how we see God and how we can know him, how we can see through Jesus the type of God we have, and how we can know that he knows us. He knows the problems we have in our lives. He knows how we think. And he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. My dad used to call me Best Martin. And it always makes me tear up a bit if I think about it. But that example, Best Martin, Best Jenny, Best Richard, that is what God has in his mind of us. Not the ideas we may have about how best to serve him. Being a reader, being a vicar, being a worship leader. These are all great things, but these may be our ideas, and there may be other ideas that we have about how we think we best need to do it. God knows the best version of us. He knows everything that we know and more. Augustine of Hippo said, God gives where he finds empty hands. C.S. Lewis says that this is something that we should continually remember when we think about what we want to do to serve God. We need to come with empty hands and not with plans. He has the plan and he is known and knows us. Come and see what God has done. So as we prepare for Christmas in the next few days, in these very strange times, let us get our minds and our hearts in the right place. Let's make some space for the deepness and wonder of Christmas. With overwhelming relief that we really can put our trust in God, in his plan, and with awe and joy that we are so loved and so cherished and so known by our Creator. Come and see what God has done. And let us say, as Mary said, those beautiful words, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Amen.